Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Kedoshim, we have 7 Divrei Torah. We are going to start all the way at the beginning of the Parsha with the famous words, Kedoshim Tihuyu, the imperative of Klal Yisrael to be a holy nation. And Rashi makes the following comment, Parsha Zonemru Behakel, this Parsha was given to Klal Yisrael as a community, as a whole, as a kahal. It wasn't given in each individual, it was given Behakel, all of Klal Yisrael gathered together as one with the imperative Kedoshim Tihiyu. So the Torah's Moshe says something fascinating. He says that the Kedusha that the Torah requires from us is not that we should be hermits, sitting by ourselves, isolated from the world and isolated from others. That is not what is going on here. We have an imperative to be Kedoshim. We have an imperative to be holy people, but together with other people, Me'ura ben Abrios, and that is Behakel, together with others. And those things have to coexist, the concept of being Kedoshim to you, being holy, but that doesn't mean being an ascetic away from others. Kedoshim to you, maintain your standards, maintain who you are, but at the same time, it has to be Behakel, and it has to be together with others in a community of Klal Yisrael. Along the same vein, the Rebbe from Kotsk brings out a Chazal. The Chazal in the Gemara tells us that Shlomo HaMelech instituted Eruvin, that is having an Eruv, for example, incorporating a community together and having an Eruv around it. So that's Eruvin and Netilas Yadayim, the washing of the hands. And he says as follows, a drush on a concept. So the Rebbe Mikotsk says, what is Eruvin is from the word of Eruv, Me'urav, together, incorporated together, or Me'ura Bidas Abrios. That means getting along with people. So he says that Shlomo HaMelech instituted Eruvin, that we have to be Me'urav, we have to be together with others as part of the Hakel, as part of the community. But at the same time, our hands should be Netulas, mean Olam, should be Netilas Yadayim, means they should be removed from this world. Which means we have to be together with people. That's the Eruvin, Me'urav, with people, but at the same time, our hands should be removed. We have to have a little bit of a removal. We can explain that in different ways, that we have to make sure that we act honestly. Our hands are taken out. We're not taking from other people. But it's really coming to say that we have to maintain our purity. We have to maintain who we are together with others, but with our hands out, meaning we have to maintain exactly our adherence to the halacha without any slippage. So that's the Rebbe Mikotsk. Along the similar lines, there's some Hasidim HaKadmonim used to say as follows, that we have to live in a duality. We have to live together with other people, but we have to be separate from other people. So at the same time, together but separate. We have to fast, but we have to eat. In other words, we have to eat. That's a normal thing to do, but also we have to fast. At the same time, it means we have to be together with people, but we have to be separate. Similar concept, they used to say that you have to roll around in the snow. That is a way of improving and a little bit self-infliction, but at the same time, you have to be underneath a warm blanket. And we see here the same duality that we're talking about. We have to be holy, kedoshim to you. We have to be holy and somewhat separate, but at the same time, we have to be me'ura, bahaka, we have to be together with other people. Indeed, this comes up very often in the workplace, that the frum yid, a frum Jew, is working in the secular workplace, and he has to be together with his co-workers, and he has to show them that he's a normal individual, and he cares for them, but at the same time, he has to be Kedoshim to you. He has to be separate as well. He has to avoid certain activities. He has to avoid going to drinking activities, company events that are at bars and the like. And again, we have the same duality of Kedoshim to you, maintaining who we are, but at the same time, Bahaka, we also have to be Mu'urav and Abrios. We also have to get along and be part of the community. So it's a delicate balance. But both of those can exist together. We can be holy and together with other people, and we have to ensure that we do not get dragged down. We are now moving forward to our second Dvar Torah. It's Perek Yutes, Pasuk Tesvav, Betzedek Tishpat Amitacha, another famous pasuk, that Betzedek, with righteousness, we should judge other people. Rashi brings the famous concept, Hevidan Eschavercha Lekafschus, that we have to judge people, the Kafschus, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. So the Baal Shem Tov on this concept, he brings the occurrence that happened with David HaMelech. David HaMelech became interested in Uriah Hachiti's wife. Uriah Hachiti was out at war, and David HaMelech became interested. David HaMelech had many wives. Uriah Hachiti had only one wife. And David HaMelech indeed took that wife. He orchestrated that Uriah Hachiti would be killed, and there's a discussion, what did Uriah Hachiti do wrong, what sin would he be punished for? That's neither here nor there. David HaMelech certainly sinned, and Nasan HaNavi come and approaches David HaMelech and says to him via a mashal, via an analogy, that there were two people in a city. And one of them was wealthy and one of them was very poor. And the wealthy person had a lot of flocks, herd, sheep, goat, etc., tremendous amount of wealth. And the poor person had just one female lamb, one kif, so one female lamb, a small one. And he loved that lamb so much and took such good care of the lamb. And it happened to be one day that the wealthy person had a visitor. And the wealthy person said, I'm not going to bother taking from my flock and sheep. I'm going to go take that poor person's lamb, female lamb. And he did that. Terrible thing. Why are you looking to other people's lamb when he has almost nothing? Don't look to other people's stuff, period, even if they have a lot, but especially if they have very little. But nonetheless, this Ashir, this is what Nasan HaNavi is telling David HaMelech. He's telling him this scenario. And that Ashir, wealthy person, he targeted that poor person and took the one animal that he had. And Nasan HaNavi turns to David HaMelech and says, so what would you paskin on this? What would you say about this situation? And David HaMelech was unbelievably upset that you could have such a wealthy person taking that little lamb from the poor person. That poor person loved that lamb, that female lamb, so much. And that was his analogy. And David HaMelech says such a person should be put to death. Ben Mavis Aisho says that anyone who could do such a thing, he should be put to death. It's a horrific thing. And now Nasan HaNavi reveals to David HaMelech that this was just a mashal. Atahayish, David HaMelech, you the person, this is what you did. You took the wife of Uriah Hachiti. You had so many wives, you had everything, and that one lamb was Uriah Hachiti's wife, and you took her for yourself. And we have David HaMelech here judging, saying, Atahu Ayish, he didn't realize that the analogy was about him. And the Baal Shem Tov says that the same thing applies to all of us when we go up to heaven, and we have to be judged on our avers. In heaven, we're going to be shown similar scenarios, and we won't realize that they're simply mashalim, that they are simply analogies to activities and acts and avers that we ourselves did. And we're going to see it, and we're going to say, that's a terrible thing to do. And this person, we're going to be asked to paskin on these scenarios, not knowing we're paskining it about ourselves. And we say, that person, terrible thing he did. That person, terrible thing he did. Not knowing we were actually paskining ourselves, and we are giving our own gzardin. We're making our own judgment up in heaven. We're simply asked to make a judgment on something that looks similar. We don't associate it with ourselves. But indeed, it's our own scenario. And we're telling the Beis Din Shamala, this is how to paskin, and we're paskining on ourselves. And accordingly, Chazal are telling us right here, B'tzedek tishpot amitach, what does that mean? That you should judge with righteousness? When you're judging, says Rashi, Hevidan is kol adam l'kaschus, you should give people the merit, the benefit of the doubt. And it says as follows, a famous Chazal, Al tadin es chavercha shetagili mikomo, don't judge somebody until you get to their place. But in fact, what's happening in heaven is we are judging people when we are in the place. We're judging on the same scenarios that we experience. We're simply not realizing that we're judging based on our experience and something that we experience. But that's exactly what's happening. And here we can be judging people because we have been in the same place. We are being asked to judge the scenarios that are basically the same as we had been in with cosmetics. So we don't realize it. And accordingly, this is our imperative. We've been in that place. Realize you have to don the kafschus, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt, because we are judging ourselves, and according to how we judge the people up in Shamayim, that's the same psak, the same gzardin that we ourselves will have. That is the Baal Shem Tov in explaining the pasuk B'tzedek tishpot amitacha, judge people with righteousness, and what is the connection to Havidan is chavercha l'kafschus, that we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. Now we are moving forward to another famous pasuk. This is Dvar Torah number 3. We are in Perek Yudtas Pasuk Yudzayin Alchiach Tochiach Hasamitacha Vulotisa Lavchet, that when you give Tochacha, it says it twice, Alchiach Tochiach Hasamitacha, when you give Tochacha, we give rebuke to somebody who is Amitacha, another Jew, don't bear the iniquity. So what's going on here? So the Chavos Ya'akov here has an interesting drush on this. He says, when you're giving Tochacha to somebody, when you're telling somebody off, when you're rebuking someone, don't do it from the vantage point of you're speaking to a Rasha. I am telling somebody who is evil, you did X, you did Y, you did Z. But Adaraba, but the opposite, we should turn to him and say things indeed to lift him up. Indeed to say, I want to bring you closer, I want to raise you up, not to put him down because he's doing something wrong, but to raise him up. And for example, to say to him, this is not matim lecha. This is not appropriate for you to do. This is pashnis. You are better than this. You can do much better than this. In other words, you're telling him you're doing this act that is below you. You're so much better. So when we're giving tochacha to someone, we should be raising that individual up at the same time. In fact, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky Zatzal spoke about this when his father would give him tochacha. It wasn't saying, don't do this, don't do that, you did a horrible act, but saying, it's pashnis, it's so below you, you're so much better than that act, and that would raise him up. And based on that, says the Chavos Ya'akov, the pasuk is read as follows, hochiach tochiach, that if you're going to give tochacha to somebody, hochiach tochiach, make him your amitacha, make him your peer, make him your friend, make him on the same level as you. Put value in him. You should value that individual. V'lotisa alav chet. Don't make him a chotet. Lotisa. Don't put on him the chet. Don't go from the vantage point of you are a sinner and doing something wrong. It's only when you elevate the individual. Hocheach. Once again, hocheach tochiach es amitacha. When you're giving tochacha, do it from the vantage point of his your amitacha, is your peer. He's a valuable individual, and not from the vantage point of v'lotisa that you are saying that you are a sinner and a terrible individual, and that will be a much more effective way to give tochacha. I don't remember the exact story, but I heard or read in the biography of a story about Rabbi Abraham Tversky again, that there was a time that a great Rosh Yeshiva Rebbe was over, stayed by them for, I think it was Rosh Hashanah, I don't think it was Yom Kippur, but one of the Yamim Noraim, and that great Rosh Yeshiva asked the little Abraham Tversky to play chess. Do you want to play chess with me today? And Abraham Tversky was a mumcha, an expert, even at a very young age in chess. So they played a couple games, and that was it. But Rabbi Tversky's, Abraham Tversky's father, he was the Rebbe of Rev the Shul, great Rav, he found out that his son had played chess on one of the Yamim Norim, Rosh Hashanah, we'll assume it's Rosh Hashanah for purposes of the story. And he spoke with him. He says, it's pashnis. You're playing chess on Rosh Hashanah. It's the day of awe. It's just not the proper thing to do in the day. And he gave him a little bit tochacha in a nice way. But he really wanted to give him the message that it wasn't the right thing, even if a Rosh Hashiva asks you to do it. But then after giving the musar, his father turned to little Abraham and said, well, did you at least win? And Rabbi Tversky, Abraham Tversky says, yeah, I won. He's like, good. So he was telling it the story that we have to give the musar and we have to give it in a proper way. But in the end of the day, you send the musar, but it should be from a warm place. That's what his father was showing us when he was asking him, so did you win? I hope you won. He was saying it's coming from a warm place. It's coming from a good place, but certainly we have to deliver the message. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4 on the same pasuk, Hocheach Tochiach Es Amitacha. And the question is, why does it say Hocheach Tochiach, the double language there, give tochacha, give tochacha? So the Gemara says, we're coming to learn here, that Afilu Mea Pa'amim, Hocheach Tochiach, multiple times, even if you're going to have to give the pashtas, even if you're going to have to give tochacha multiple, numerous times, that is still incumbent upon us. There's halachas about when do you stop if the person starts hitting you and the like. We won't go into that. But the major yesod here, this is Rabbi David Belchar from Mizrich. He says as follows, that the concept here, hocheach tochiach es amitacha, afilu mea pa'amim, even 100 times, sometimes you're not able to deliver the proper message. You don't say it right. You're not able to verbalize it right. You're not able to communicate it in the proper way that will be effective. So that's on the side of the person giving the musar, the person giving the tochacha, the rebuke. And conversely, there are times that the recipient is not going to be able to hear. So even if the person giving the muskar delivered it in the proper way, but the recipient is not going to be open to hearing regardless of how it's delivered. And accordingly, the imperative of the pasuk, the imperative of Chazal is afilu me'a pa'amim, you should say it multiple, numerous times, because hopefully at one point of those mea times, the 100 times, you will deliver it eloquently and properly, and at the same time, the recipient will be open to hearing the tochacha that you are delivering. So you have to try different ways and verbalize it in different ways, and hopefully it will match up that you deliver it, or whoever is delivering it, the person giving the tochacha, delivers it, and it's heard, and it will be at the same time, because many times A won't do well in delivering it, B won't be too well in hearing it, and we need to match up that time that both of those will work out at the same time. Continuing, so there are those that say that when giving tochacha, oftentimes people just dump it on you. I'm going to give that guy tochacha, it's a complicated situation, and I need to deal with it, and I need to speak with him. And you just sit the person down, and you need to deal with a serious issue, and you just dump everything at once. And you try to be effective by convincing the person and giving the tochacha to the person all at once. That's not the concept oftentimes. Oftentimes it has to be given little by little. It is a process over time. And we have to realize it's not that dump on the person one at one time and hopefully it's going to change. But it is a process, and may have to go even up to 100 times of delivering the message this way and that way and adding on and caressing it and massaging it. So it is indeed, when it comes to tochacha, when dealing with difficult issues, the more difficult, the more effort it's going to take. It oftentimes has to be broken up into bite-sized pieces to go through a process, because not everything will happen at one time. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, and another famous pasuk. We are in Perek Yutes, pasuk Yudches, v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha ani Hashem. We typically say that this means that you should love your friend kamocha as you love yourself. I am God. And now the Kanfei Nesharim has a different take on it, a very interesting quote. What is v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha? He says that the kamocha is referring to someone who is like you in the sense that he is in the same occupation as you are in. V'ahavta l'reyacha, you should love your friend kamocha, who is your competitor. Even though he's in the same occupation, he's your competitor. And Chazal tell us, kol uman shone es b'nei umna, so it's natural that every artisan, every craftsman, every person who has an occupation, he hates his competitor, because they're out to get the same customers, the same business. But the imperative of the pasuk is v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha, that you should love your reyacha kamocha. You should love your friend who is your competitor. Is kamocha. Why is that? Why should I love my competitor? He's going to take my parnasa, because the pasuk concludes ani Hashem, ani I am Hashem. You should know that the parnasa comes from me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not all the efforts that you put in, then that you have to cheat your competitor, you have to be mean to your competitor, you have to speak bad about your competitor, you have to speak lashon hara about your competitor. V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha, you should love your competitor. He's a yid as well, ani Hashem, and I will supply the parnasa. It's not coming from him how he acts, or he doesn't ask that you get the parnasa. Just make sure you're proper, honest to him. Treat him nicely. V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha, even though he's a competitor, ani Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will supply the parnasa. That is the view, understanding of the Kanfei Nesharim. We're now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 6. Another very interesting insight when it comes to Va'avta L'Recha Kamocha. Same pasuk that we are on. And the Kanfei Nesharim again says that the teva, the nature of a person, is that we don't love all of our limbs the same way. Some are more important to us, some are less important to us. Some people don't like their feet, they don't like their this, whatever it may be. That's a natural thing, that we don't think each one as important as the other. So for example, if somebody is going to get hit on his head, Rahman al-Itzlan, what's he going to do to protect himself? He's going to lift up his arms and protect himself over his head. He is showing here, I'm lifting up my arms, I'm willing to take the blow on my arms in order to avoid taking that hit on my head. Why? Because the head is more important to him. The head is more fond, it's more important and more significant. He's willing to hurt his hands in order to protect his head. But having said that, even though some people are more fond of certain limbs than others, but we need them all and we appreciate them all and we love them all, but to different degrees. We will love our heads, we want to protect our heads, our heart, more than other limbs, but all of them are necessary and needed, and we have a love and appreciation for all of them. And the same thing says the Kanfei Nesharim applies to each and every yid, Va'afta L'Reacha Kamocha, that it doesn't mean we should love in each, we have it great if we can love them all equally, but it doesn't mean that that's required, and it's not natural even. There are certainly people of Klal Yisrael that we're going to like more than others. We're going to appreciate some more than others. We're going to be able to hit it off more than others. We're going to esteem some more than others. But the bottom line here is that we should have at least some ahava, ba'afta l'reyacha kamocha, just as kamocha when it comes to you. We have all of our limbs, we do have more fondness for some than others, but all of them we have fondness for. So too when it comes to Klal Yisrael, there are some that we are more fond of than others, but still we have Va'afta L'Reacha Kamocha, we should still have, just like our limbs, we should still have some semblance of Ahava for each and every Jew. And now we're moving forward to number 7. This is in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chav Ches. It says, "Veseret lenefesh lo titnum bebsarchem," when talking about, do not put a cut in your flesh. Don't cut yourself up. Don't have a tattoo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in a certain way, and don't ruin it. Don't make significant changes like that. The Bris Milah is an exception to the rule, but otherwise, we're not here to make ugly marks and destructive marks on our bodies. And the Orach L'Chaim says, he focuses on viseret lenefesh. What does that mean? A cut in your nefesh. It doesn't say a seret in your body. It says a seret in your nefesh, in your soul. Very strange. And he says the concept here is any aveira that somebody does, any sin, anything wrong that somebody does, indeed that acts as a cut. It acts as a blemish on somebody's soul. And that's why it says viseret lenefesh, literally, don't cut up your body, but the language of nefesh, your soul, means that anytime you do an aveira, indeed you are you're hurting yourself. You are causing a pgam, a blemish in your nefesh, in your neshama, on a spiritual level, and that's why it says the word nefesh as opposed to somebody's body here. Thanks so much for listening.